problem that we are having, as not as a country, not only as a church, but there is a problem that we are having as a world at large. I'm sure everybody has heard about the coronavirus and the effect that it is having in our world. You know, this pandemic has rearranged the way we live our lives. Even this morning in our church, things are not the way they usually are. Hallelujah. The pandemic has affected people everywhere. So we can't but pause for a while and look into this situation and ask ourselves, how do I survive in times like this? Praise God. All right. Now, you see, another thing that has happened since the pandemic began is people really don't know what is going to happen next. We start our day or we start our week in a certain way, but by the time we are midweek, so much has already changed. New rules are released continuously. So you ask yourself, what's going to happen next? I mean, like, we are here today like this, but what's going to happen next week? What's going to happen in 2 weeks from now? Do you understand what I'm saying? So we need to ask ourselves as children of God, what are we going to do? What if this thing lasts for 2 months? What if the number of gatherings that we were allowed to have reduces from 100 to 50? Then from no gathering at all. By the time the pandemic is over, who will still be a Christian? Hallelujah. I believe you will still be a Christian. I believe you will still be standing strong. Hallelujah. So this morning, we want to quickly look at how to be at peace in troubled times. Maybe you are not very much affected by corona, but maybe you are affected by other troubles. And one of the things that troubles do is that they trouble your peace. They affect peace, is serenity, stability, calmness. The moment you are no more calm, the moment you are agitated at any level soever, your peace has been tempered with. There is a song we used to sing that says, "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me." So the world didn't give it to me, the world cannot take it away. Then we used to also say, "This peace that I have, the world didn't give it to me." A believer that is losing his peace when the world is losing peace, it means that believer didn't receive his peace from God. They got their peace from the world. And whatever the world can give you, the world can take from you. May the world never take your peace away. Hallelujah. So we want to look at, how can I be at peace in times of trouble? How can I have peace? Right now, I'm not even sure if by next week I will still have a job. I'm talking about somebody here. I'm not sure if next week or next month I'll be able to pay the bill. There's trouble in my spirit. I'm not sure if in 2 months from now we will be back to school and if I will perform well with all that is happening. I don't know. Your peace. May you not lose your peace. May you not lose your peace during this time. And I'm speaking to our viewers. May you not lose your peace during this time. May you remain peaceful. Hallelujah. May you remain peaceful. Now, this morning, you know, God is amazing. God has given me just one verse of scripture. And out of this one verse of scripture, we are going to see 5 or 6 things that you can do to not lose your peace. Hallelujah. Come with me to the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says, "Do not worry about anything." Let me say it the way the New Living Translation says it. Don't worry about anything. Hello, somebody. Don't worry. God does not give you and I the right to worry about anything, no matter how severe it looks, no matter how hard or how painful it looks to you. God does not give us the right. It's not like there are certain things you should worry about and other things you shouldn't worry about. It's not like there are certain things that qualify for you to worry for them or to worry about them. The Bible says, don't worry about how many things? What does anything mean? Don't worry about anything. Hallelujah. You know, if you could start just doing the Bible, your life will change drastically. Oh, Pastor, I'm in school and we just started and now the schools are closed. Don't worry about anything. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I've got bills to pay and now they've told us to not go to work anymore. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. But I'm going to come back to it. Amen. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray for everything. Oh, what a scripture. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray for how many things? I can't hear you. How many things? I can't hear you. How many things? Pray for everything. We go back again to the same principles. Prayer is not for certain things, and other things don't need prayer. Everything requires prayer. Actually, the King James Version of this verse says, everything by prayer. Everything, but not certain things. Everything by prayer. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, the next passage, tell God what you need. Don't tell people. Tell who? Tell God what you need. And thank Him for all He has done. The first thing worry does to you is that it makes you forget what God has done. It makes you forget that the problem you have today, you didn't have it yesterday. It makes you forget about the fact that you had a problem yesterday that was actually big. And you came out of it. When you go through a challenge, worry comes, and the moment worry enters your heart, it makes you forget that God has done something. Thank Him for what He has done. Hallelujah. Thank Him for what He has done. Praise the name of Jesus. Now let's go to verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace. This is going to be the result. When you refuse to worry, when you choose to pray, when you choose to thank God for all He has done, the first result is that you will experience God's peace. Not the world's peace. The peace of God. The peace of God. He doesn't say then you will have a lot of money. He just says you will have peace. Let me tell you something. Money without peace is a frustration. A husband without peace is a frustration. There are many people that are married, but they don't have peace. And they are just looking for one day for peace. Just one day of peace. At least, Lord, give me one day of peace in this marriage. Just give me one day of peace. There are people who have jobs, but they don't have peace. The manager has become their devil and the devil's mother-in-law. Like, and their colleagues, certain colleagues have turned into the Penina. Do you know Penina in the Bible? She keeps paining you. She pains you. She pains you. So you have a job. Actually, when you didn't have a job, you were better off than now that you have a job. I hope I'm still preaching. The peace of God. That's what we need in the world right now. With all the confusion that is going on around, we need peace, people of God. We need the peace of God in our hearts. We need the peace of God in our nations. We need the peace of God in our homes. Hallelujah. Receive the peace of God in Jesus' name. Now it says the peace of God which exceeds anything you can understand. The peace of God exceeds anything you can understand. That is the peace you're going to receive this morning. Now look at the next thing that will happen. His peace will guard your heart. Do you see what the peace of God does? It guards your heart and your mind. Because when there is trouble, before trouble hits your pocket, trouble hits your mind. And it hits your heart. And it frustrates your life. And people start going through depression. And people start going through suicidal thoughts. And people start, you know, their minds are affected. And I want to tell you something. The mind of a lot of people is affected right now. And the hearts of so many people are affected right now. But I want to talk to somebody. The peace of God is going to guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Anything the devil is spending against the peace of God in your life, I curse it in the name of Jesus Christ. The peace of God, his peace, not your peace, not the world peace, his peace will guard your heart. So the peace of God is a policeman. The peace of God is a bodyguard. Hallelujah. The peace of God, receive the peace of God. The peace of God is stronger than anything you can be fighting in this life. The peace of God. When the peace of God enters a marriage, no wonder, no matter what was going on in that marriage, when the peace of God comes, Things start cooling down. When the peace of God enters the heart of a man, no matter the confusion that was in that heart, everything is going to go down. It doesn't mean the problem has changed. No, the problem must still be there. But what has happened is that the peace has entered your heart. And once the peace of God enters your heart, it changes the situation. The way you look at something when you are troubled is different from the way you look at the thing when you are at peace. A simple illustration. If I'm looking for something that fell in a river, do you understand? And the river is troubled. Do you understand? I will not find that thing. The thing is in there, but there is trouble in the water. And as long as there is trouble in the water, I can't see my way. What peace does is that it calms the waters down. And all the dead start settling down. They go to the bottom. And the moment the dead go to the bottom, lo and behold, you will see what you are looking for. You will see what you are looking for. Satan cannot steal the blessing, but he can steal the peace. And the day Satan steals your peace, he has stolen everything else. Because you need peace to be able to identify which way to go. The title of my message, I repeat it again, how to be at peace in troubled times. Oh, it's easy to be at peace in peaceful times. There is no corona. There are jobs. I mean, it's easy. I have a boyfriend. I'm married. I have a car. There is no problem. You can have peace like that. And that is the peace of the world. They call it peace of mind. Oh, I need some peace. Tell your neighbor, I need some peace of mind. Me, I don't need peace of mind. I need the peace of God. I don't need the peace of mind. I need the peace of God. Because, you see, the peace of God comes and it overpowers any problem that the peace of mind cannot overpower. The peace of mind is only there as long as there is nothing to mind about. When you start minding for things, the peace runs away. Me, I want the peace of God. I want the peace of God. The peace of God which exceeds anything you understand. What does that mean? It means people will ask themselves, how can she still be like this with all that is going on with her life? How come she's not crying? How come he's still happy with everything that is happening to him? How come he's still okay after all that has knocked him down? By now, that joy is supposed to go away. By now, that peace is supposed to go away. By now, he's supposed to look depressed. He's supposed to be... And you know, I always know when my members are in trouble. I just check their Facebook status, or I just check their Facebook profile picture. Sometimes they don't put any picture. When you see a member that profile picture, there's nothing. Begin to pray. And intercede. When they now put a black, you see, sometimes they just put a black thing there, like they just find a black image. And they put a black image. Now you check them, it's just black. There was one time, one of our members, she put black. I said, hey, I call her. What is going on? Why are you putting this black? She said, no, Pastor, I was just playing. Listen, you are not playing. You are not playing. You are speaking. Profile pictures reveal your profile. Inside out, your profile is revealed through your profile picture. You tell us what is going on, your face reveals your heart. So the moment you lose your countenance, it means your heart, the peace has been stolen. Yes. The moment your peace is stolen, your face shows it. You lose joy. You start looking stressed. You start looking like you don't know where you are going. And even the thing you know is here, you can't find it anymore. I'm telling you, many times when I lose my peace, I start losing things. When you lose peace, you start losing things. You can write that down somewhere. When you lose peace, you will start losing things just now. The first thing you will lose your temper. Then you will lose items in the house because when you don't have peace, even something that is in front of you, you will not see it. And you will lose opportunities. How to have peace in times of trouble. How to have peace. Are you blessed by my little message so far? I'm asking, are you blessed by my little message so far? All right, let's now quickly go through them one by one and we'll close our service. Hallelujah. Remember, we can only meet for 1 hour or 1 hour, 30 minutes and under 100. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you made it to church. Under 100 and under rain. Under 100, under rain, you made it to church. Put your hands together for yourself. Under 100. Under rain. Ay, 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 ay. ABC is going somewhere. Hallelujah. Okay, how to be at peace in times of trouble? Number one, don't worry. Tell your neighbor, don't worry. Matthew 6:27 says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? What a statement. Can all your, this worry you are doing, can it add just a single moment? Like after you have worried the whole night, I know people who don't sleep at night. They toss and turn, go see the moon, count a few stars, come back, continue tossing and turning the whole night. My manager always tells me about a friend of his. He says, this guy never sleeps. You go to on Facebook at 3 a.m., he's online. You go on Facebook at 2 a.m. He's still online. He asks, when does this guy sleep? Usually people who are always online can't be offline because their mind is forever working. They can't be offline. They can't rest. So they are forever online. They have to always be online because if they close the phone, another thing will open. And they don't want that other thing to open. So they must always be online. Always doing investigations, following the boyfriend, following the girlfriend, chasing. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? It's a question by Jesus. All your worry, all this worry you are going about, you worry about your life, you worry about your weight, you worry about your skin, you worry about your job, you worry about this, you worry about that. Will you add anything to your life? After you've worried about all those things. Actually, after you worry, you are worse. If you like, try it. I've never seen somebody who worried, and after he worried, he was shining brighter like the sun. Like he was going brighter and brighter. No, no, you go darker and darker and darker and darker. You just descend. And your journey is never to descend. Your journey is to go higher and higher and higher and higher. You shall never go down in the name of Jesus Christ. You shall never go down. You shall never go down. And this is especially dangerous for, you know, there are four temperaments: choleric, sanguine, phlegmatic, and melancholic. The people that are hit the worst with this worry are the melancholics. Melancholics. People that are always perfect, they lack perfection. So when things go wrong, even for one inch, they will sit and ask that, why? Where did I go wrong? And they will stay there for 3 years. They will spend their whole time condemning themselves. You know, maybe I could have done this better. You know, maybe I could have. And they are just getting into deeper depression. Deeper depression. They worry so much. You know why the melancholic is hit by this the most? Because he thinks too deeply. He analyzes everything. He wants to understand everything. You and your small mind, what can you understand? I want you. It's a peace that you cannot understand. So God is meant to, it exceeds your understanding. What can you understand about this life? Small person like you, you were just born yesterday. What can you understand? What can you understand? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What can you understand? So do not allow your mind to go off key. Amen. Can all your worries add a single moment? So if it can add a single moment, it means it is subtracting moments. You know, there are times I used to worry, I began to have headache. Then the neck. Do you understand? When you think too much, even the neck, because the neck is being into high activity. The nerves start paining you. I know some people in South Africa, they live on grandpa. Grandpa for breakfast, grandpa for lunch, and old pa for dinner. You are coming out of that group in the name of Jesus Christ. I say you are coming out of that group in the name of Jesus Christ. You need to overcome worry. Joyce Meyer said one time, I was listening to her, and she said, a person who worries is like a person who is sitting on a rocking chair. You are making movement, but you are not going anywhere. You know a rocking chair? You are just doing like this. It's like, if somebody watches you from by, you would think you are riding a horse. Because he can't see the chair. He's just singing. You look like you are really going somewhere. Meanwhile, you are not moving one inch. So when you worry, it's like you are sitting on a rocky chair, making so much movement, but going nowhere. Chugu, 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 chugu. Hey, that guy is working, eh? Oh my God, he's even sweating. But at the end of the day, nothing has changed. Don't worry, trust God. Hallelujah. Trust God. Say with me, I will trust God. Number two, pray for everything. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Bible says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. How many of you will agree that usually you don't know? Like, not with the coronavirus. Me, I don't know what God wants me to pray for. I don't know. And it is a weakness to not know what to pray for. And I'm glad that God sent the Holy Ghost to help us in our weaknesses. And our number one weakness is that we don't know what to pray for. And sometimes we don't even know how to pray. So God knew that we will not know what to pray for. And God knew that sometimes you will be into so much trouble, you don't even know what to pray, which one to pray for, and how to even pray. So he gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us. Listen to me. Quit asking people to pray for you. Oh, please pray for me. All those people you ask me to pray for, they don't pray.
I knew that this thing shouldn't be trusted because there was a sister I knew that even when we're having prayer meetings, she doesn't pray. And one time I had a problem and she heard about my problem. Then she sent me a text. She says, "No, Pastor, you are in our prayers." I said, "Hey, this person. Pastor, you are in our prayers. In our even prayer meeting, I never see you pray. Even in the church, you don't pray. But you are sending me a message to say, Pastor, you are in my prayers." I don't believe it. I don't believe it. So this thing that you are telling me, please pray for me. Pray for me, please. Ask the Holy Ghost, pray for me. And the Holy Ghost prays for you through groaning. Hallelujah. Reba sokataka pakoya palada baba. When you start speaking in tongues, the Holy Ghost starts praying for you. Don't worry about anything. Pray for everything. Oh, I don't know how to pray. The Holy Ghost can help you pray. Just open your mouth and He will feel it. Another thing that happens to people who worry, they don't pray. I can check your prayer level. I can check your worry level by your prayer level. Why? Because before you pray, you shouldn't worry. So if the first thing is don't worry, pray. So when you worry, you can't pray. Therefore, people who worry, don't pray. You can't do the two jobs at the same time. Meaning you can't worry and pray at the same time. You have to drop one job to do the other job. Most Christians that struggle to pray is because they have become professional warriors. You know, we have prayer warriors and we have prayer and professional warriors. It's not the same thing. A prayer warrior, he's worrying in prayer. He's worrying in prayer. And then there is a professional warrior. He's a warrior at a professional. Ask your neighbor, which one are you? Hey! Hallelujah. You are leaving the warrior group to enter the warriors group. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I see you praying in the middle of the night. Why don't you give? Do you know what could happen to you? Those 3 hours you spend worrying. If you could spend them worrying. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we are at war. Don't worry. War. Don't spend 10 hours or 3 hours worrying. If you could spend those very 3 hours praying. Oh, Pastor, but you don't understand. This thing is hitting me too hard. Corona. You know, with all my problems, that even Corona has also come. You know, now it's even worse. Don't worry. Pray. There is a solution in God for your life. Don't worry, pray. There is a solution in God for your life. The Holy Ghost has the answer. But He can't bring the answer because your mind is too hectic. He can't even give you the thought He wants to give you because you are always thinking. You know, the Bible says, we're going to get to that right now. Amen? We're going to get to that. Hallelujah. Then number 3, thank God. Give thanks. We've learned in this church since the beginning of the year that one of the things that will cause the move of God in your life is thanksgiving. Don't worry about anything. Pray for everything. Thank God for what He has done. Thank God for what He has done. And I want to take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says, be thankful in how many circumstances? I can't hear the church this morning. In all circumstances. Not for all circumstances. There is a difference. The Bible doesn't say be thankful for all circumstances. In other words, somebody slap you. Lord, I thank you. You fall down. Lord, I thank you. The Bible doesn't say be thankful for all circumstances. In other words, in anything you find yourself into, there is something to thank God for it. There is something inside that thing you are going through that can bring thanksgiving. Be thankful in all circumstances. Why? Because this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, what that means is that when you are a child of God, Nothing in your life is a product of an accident. Even the things you think are just happening, nothing is just happening. If you are really a child of God. It's just that you don't understand what it is, but God knows what he's doing. And because God cannot always explain to you, you will not understand. Sometimes he just wants you to thank him. Just thank him. Just thank him, because if you try to understand, you lose your mind. I'm a child of God. I'm in the will of God for my life. But things are going this way. I don't worry about it. I'm going to thank God in the midst of it. Soon or later, you will realize this is why this went like this. This is why it has to go like this. Imagine Joseph thanking God for being beaten by his brother. What is there to thank God for after my brothers have beat me? After my brothers have sold me as a slave? How can I thank God? How can I thank God after God has abandoned me to be sold in Egypt, in a foreign land, with foreign people? How can I thank God for that? But after you reach the palace, then you realize that your brothers didn't hate you. They were never going to sell you away. And if they didn't sell you away, you're never going to be bought by an Egyptian captain. And if that Egyptian captain didn't buy you, you're not going to end in prison where you are going to meet people who knew Pharaoh. And if those people didn't meet you in the prison, if you didn't go to prison, you were never going to be known by Pharaoh and you were never going to become a prime minister. Then when you look back now over the whole situation, you realize everything, every circumstance, I needed to thank God for it. Even the time when I didn't have money, even the time when they rejected me, even the times when they laughed at me, I need to thank God for that. Because when you look at the whole picture, you will realize at the end it will work for your good. Let me talk a bit about Corona. You know, right now everybody is complaining about Corona. Everybody feels Corona has taken our lives away. But I have seen the good things Corona has done. Number one, accidents have reduced ever since Corona started. You can count how many people have died. You can count them. Can you replace a life? Do you know how many people are not driving safely because of Corona? Do you know the rate of accident that has reduced just because of Corona? And everybody will be complaining, but not realizing that even though something looks bad, on the other side, it is having great, 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 great blessings. Great blessings. How many parents, how many funerals were we going to be in right now if it wasn't for Corona? Lives that you could never replace. Number two, how many children get finally the chance to see their parents every evening? I know some children who can never see their parents. Because when he finishes work, he goes there, and then he goes there, and then she goes there. They never come home. By the time they get home, the children are asleep. At least now, you can go home. You can see your father. You can see your children. You can love them. You can have family time. If it has taken Corona, so be it. Please put your hands together for Jesus, if you understand it. Anything I'm talking about. Hallelujah. People are becoming more cleaner. Mercy. Now, some of you never used to wash for 3 days. You don't wash. But now you're even smelling cologne. You know. Hey. Hey. I mean, the teacher teaches in hygiene. Wash your hands. I never used to wash my hands. The only time I wash my hands, if I go to the toilet, and if I remember. Mercy, 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 mercy. Corona has come. Tell your neighbor, Corona has come. Now people are washing their hands, they are washing their feet, they are bathing, they are even sanitizing. Hey! I believe some people heard the word sanitizer for the first time during Corona season. Corona season has brought a new word in South Africa, sanitizers. Sanitizers. We are sanitizing. Mercy. And you know, these germs that are being killed could have killed your life. I'm telling you. Some people, even the way they look now, they look brighter, like they look nice. You can see, yeah, this guy's now finally bathing. He's bathing now. What is bathing? He's bathing. Even the ladies, they never used to bath. They don't bath. You know that thing you do, you take a bucket, is it bath? You take a bucket, chak, 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 then you go out. And you are saying you bath. Mercy, 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 mercy. Corona has come, now people are bathing. They are using powerful soaps. Yeah. Last week we were trying to get sanitizers, the whole Rustin, but not one. You could find chocolate, you could find sugar, you could find anything except sanitizers, my friend, and toilet paper. Who could have known that toilet paper can be popular? Who could have known? I saw a video on YouTube, women are fighting for toilet paper. They are fighting in Australia, fighting for toilet paper. If you had told that lady when she was born, that one day you'll fight for toilet paper. Corona. And we are having less drama in our lives. Yeah, there's less drama. People are calm. Even people that were rude are now very, very nice. Do you understand? They are nice. Like people that were very rude. Like, hello, hello, hello. It's Corona, eh? Yeah. They have become nice. And those are good things. Hallelujah. Another good thing is that Corona has brought unity. Yeah. Even in the workplace, people who didn't used to speak to each other, now they are talking, at least about Corona. There's unity. Nations are uniting to fight. You saw last week, even the political parties had to come together to fight, to say we are standing as one against this. No matter the diversity of views that we have, that this is a national disaster, we have to all stand together. It has brought unity. It has brought unity. And it has brought solidarity, meaning you can help another person. Our heart gets softer. Then another thing Corona has done, Corona has brought humility. Humility. During the week, I saw the president of Senegal going to the bathroom, washing his hands, to encourage his country to wash their hands. And that thing was watched by millions of people, washing his hands. The president of Senegal. Humility. Corona has reminded us we are human. Corona has reminded us there is nothing we can do without God. Humility has humbled us. Corona has brought savings. You are spending less during this Corona time because you are going out less. Now, before you eat, you think. I know people who have stopped eating red meat. Yes. So they have stopped eating certain things because of Corona. Put your hands together for Corona. I promise you. Lastly, Corona has brought a sense of eternity in our lives. I will not be surprised if the hearts of men become softer, even to receive the gospel during this time. You know why? Because people are afraid. And sometimes, a certain fear softens the heart. It softens the heart. Because you know, I could be hit. What's going to happen? Look at all those things. And there are more things. I don't just have time to take you through them, but I'm just showing you that. Let's give me Romans 8:28. This is your verse. Romans 8:28. And I want us to read it together this morning. Amen. We will just brush the next one now. 1, 2, 3, let's go. 1, 2, 3, go. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for the thing. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus for that. God causes everything to work together for the good. Not for the bad, for the good. I have learned this. When my things are not going the way I want them to go, I know God has something better. God has 3 answers for you. No. When he says no, it's not because he's refusing the thing to you. It's not good for you. If you get it, it will destroy you. 2nd answer, yes. When he says yes, it means you have matured, you are at the right level, you can receive it. Then he gives it to you. 3rd answer, wait. When he says wait, it means it is yours, but the time to receive it hasn't come yet. Those are God's 3 answers. When you pray, he will either say no, yes, or wait. But at the end of the day, it will all work for your good. For your good. It will work for your good. In other words, when you look back, you will realize, this is why this had to go like this. This is why I had to be like this. This is why I had to be hated. This is why people had to reject me. This is why I had to be laughed and mocked at. It was for my good. I decree, therefore, it shall all work for your good in Jesus' precious name. Number 5, the peace of God. Number 4, the peace of God. Amen. John 14, verse 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So it is fear. Fear and trouble are signs of lack of peace. When you don't have the peace of God, your heart will be troubled. When you don't have the peace of God, your heart will be afraid. When you have the peace of God, no matter what is going on, you have the joy of the Lord in your heart. Amen. Now, Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, you will keep in perfect peace all those who trust you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. So peace is also a matter of where is your thought fixated? Wherever your thoughts are fixated, that is where you will, your feelings come from there. Those whose thoughts are fixed on you. The thoughts are fixed. If I fix my thoughts on corona, I will lose my job just now. If I fix my thoughts on what is going on TV, I will be scattered. I mean, there is a lady who sent me a message of another lady in Italy, and she's saying, you guys must go in the shop, you must buy stuff, put stuff in your, and they're going to shut down your country. He said, hey, she said, when I was listening to that, I became scared. I stopped it. I said to the lady, please don't send me this type of messages again. I'm not into this type of messages. Don't send me this type of messages. I don't want to listen to this. I want to listen to faith. I want to listen to the word of God. Hallelujah. Don't fix your thoughts on the depression. Don't fix your thoughts on what is not working. Don't fix your thoughts. You must ask yourself, where are my thoughts fixed right now? Where are my thoughts fixed? Because wherever your thoughts are, Satan wants to take your thoughts here and cause you to start worrying. Yeah. You are thinking about it so much. Always on your mind. Oh, you know, you still don't have that thing, you know. I remember when God blessed me with a job, I became very happy. And I remember I was driving in Mokwasi, thanking God for the job. Just before I reached Mankwe College, Satan came to the car.
And then he says, oh, so I rejoice him for the job. Wow.
But you still don't have a wife, you know?
And all the joy left.
Yeah.
And that lady you wanted, she refused you, you know? All my joy left. All my peace left. Satan likes doing that to you.
When you come out of a service like this and your heart is excited, he will bring one thing that you don't have yet and make you to focus on that thing. Fix your thoughts on that thing. And before you know it, the peace is gone. The joy is gone. And you are frustrated again. Even though God has done so much, you can't thank him for what he has done. You just remember that one thing he hasn't done yet. The one is saying, wait, or no, or yes, but wait. And Satan brings that confusion. Fix your mind on things above. Fix your mind on things above. On the word of God. On what God is saying. Hallelujah. Let's quickly close. Then number 5. Guard your heart and your mind. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart. Guard your heart, people of God. Guard your heart. Let me tell you what the Holy Ghost told me. He said, many of you are washing your hands and sanitizing your hands, and yet you are exposing your heart. Do you know how many people are sanitizing their hands every day, and then they go and expose their hearts to the TV and to the news? And they spoil their hearts, and they are sanitizing their hands. You see, your hands can be clean, but if your heart is not clean, your life will be affected. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Protect your heart against impure things, against bad news, anything that is not right. Protect your heart against it. Praise the name of Jesus. So I'm not saying don't sanitize. It's important. We should do it. But I'm saying, apart from that, guard your heart. Protect your heart. Praise God. Say with me, I will guard my heart. Lastly, be found in Christ. Praise God. He says, shall keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The safest place to be in South Africa right now is not your house. I have many things. Oh, I'm not going to go out. I'll stay indoors. It's good. But that is not the safest place to be. The safest place to be in South Africa right now is not in a sanitized place where you have even removed the air freshener, you have put sanitizers. Every 5 minutes. I saw a lady on the news. She's wearing a mask, something on the head, and she's wearing some plastic overall, and she's going shopping. Like somebody from Musco or from Mars, like to another planet. The safest place to be right now is not your house. It's Christ Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. That's the safest place. The safest place to be is in Christ Jesus. Are you listening? Be found in Christ. Not just in the sanitizer, in Christ. Be found in Christ. Be found in Christ. Now I will put your hope and your faith in Christ. And let's look at our last verse, Hebrews 2:14. The Bible there says, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood, for only as a human being could he die. Hallelujah. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil. You see, Jesus needed to die to break the power of the devil. Only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. The devil had the power of death. Are you listening? Then let's look at verse 15. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their life
are slaves to the fear of dying. The fear of dying. Only Jesus can deliver you from the fear of dying. The fear of dying. The fear of dying. You shall not die, amen? You shall live, amen? Last verse, Colossians 3:3. Thank you, Jesus. For you died for this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. I like what Elijah said to somebody during the week on his Facebook. The guy says, hey, he must be serious about this disease. He said, listen, we have already died. Christians that are running, you must know that your real life is not here anymore. Your real life is hidden with Christ in God. I'm speaking to somebody, if I'm still online, I'm speaking to somebody here that your real life is hidden. It's not accessible to the coronavirus. Your real life is hidden. When something is hidden, it means you can't find it. Your real life is hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? It means to affect your real life, I have to pass Christ and I have to pass God, which is highly impossible to do. Are you listening to what I'm teaching, people of God? Your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Say with me, my real life. By saying that, you are meaning this life is not your real life. This is not your real life. Don't make this the permanent life. Don't allow this life to become the most important life. This life will pass away. But say with me, my real life is hidden with Christ in God. My real life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, I will not fear. I will not be afraid. I will not worry. Because nobody, nothing can snatch me out of the hand of Jesus, out of the hand of God. I am safe in the shadow of his wings. No weapon fashioned against my life shall prosper. God is on my side. When I go out, God is with me. When I come in, God is with me. When I'm greeting people, when I'm even shaking their hands by mistake, God is with me. I will not be afraid of corona. I will not be afraid of any economical problems. My trust is in God. My real life is hidden with Christ in God. Stand on your feet and give the Lord a shout. I said, stand on your feet and give the Lord a shout. Begin to worship him. Begin to worship him. Lift up your hands and begin to worship him. Everybody in the building. Come on, you can worship him. Lift up your hands and begin to thank him this morning. For all he has done. Come on, let's thank him this morning. Let's thank him. Let's thank him this morning. Let's thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Kalabaya balaba. Kalabaya balaba. Keleba galabala galabalaba. Oh Lord, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. We will not worry. We will trust you. We will pray for everything. Pray for the grace to pray. Pray for the grace to pray. Father, give me grace to pray instead of worrying. Father, give me grace to begin to pray. Father, give me grace to come out of depression, out of worry. Give me grace to open my mouth and pray instead of worry. Somebody is praying that prayer. Father, give me grace to pray in the Spirit for hours instead of worrying with my mind for hours. Father, give me grace to pray. Give me grace to pray. Revive my faith today. Revive my faith today. Revive my faith today. I refuse to worry. I refuse to doubt. I refuse to watch negative news. Somebody is praying. Somebody is praying. Oh, come on, open your mouth and pray this morning. Keleba suka la madaka la badade. Zakadeka pazuka de kafaladela. Mesuka de kafaladave. Zakateve. Zakateve. Father, give me grace to thank you in all circumstances. Do not worry and do not complain. I refuse to join the complainers. I choose to join the worshippers. Shabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabal him. Thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. Kole masukalave, brancheve, brancheve, kadove, brekachove, sekalave, branchokala. Oh, come on, pray in the tongues, pray in tongues. Let the Holy Ghost pray for you with tongues. Oh, come on, with tongues, 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 with tongues. Pray in tongues. Kele pasoka la madame. Rebebebebebebebebe. Shakadaka pakoya. I want you to pray in tongues continuously. Pray in tongues continuously. The Holy Ghost is praying as you are praying. The Holy Ghost is praying as you are praying. Kele pasoka daka faladaba. Rabababababa zakadaka pakaya palagaraba. Reke sakoleba. Zakadaba. Brekadaba. Zekelaba. I refuse to worry. I refuse to complain. I refuse to doubt. I choose to trust God. I receive peace. Shafalava, shafalava, shafalava. Rakapaga, rekazava, mekatove, shekelave, zikatove, mekentave, rabababa. Receive grace to pray. Receive grace to pray. Grace to pray and not to worry. Grace to pray and not to worry. Grace to pray and not to worry. Lastly, let's pray for peace. Pray for peace. Ask God, Father, give me your peace. Give me your peace. I refuse to worry. I receive your peace. Everybody online, begin to pray. Lord, give me your peace. Lord, give me your peace. I receive the peace of God. As I'm praying for you, you are receiving the peace of God right now in your bedroom, in your living room. The peace of God is coming to you. Shakala bayabala, mekatuka fagalabade, jekadeka fazuka deka falagera. No more sleepless nights. No more sleepless nights. You are walking in peace. The Bible says he will keep in perfect peace. Receive perfect peace. Perfect peace. Perfect peace in the name of Jesus. Shala, shala, shakataba, prekataba. You shall not worry about your career. You shall not worry about that job. You shall not worry about that marriage. You shall not worry about that salary. You shall not worry about your education anymore. I see you trusting God. I see you trusting God. I see you trusting God. He will make it all work for your good. He will make it work for your good. Zapa-pa-pa-pa-pa. Zapa-pa-pa-pa-pa. Zapa. Lift your hands and receive peace, somebody. Lift your hands and receive the peace of God. The peace of God in your marriage, the peace of God in your heart, the peace of God in your business, the peace of God in your mind. Satan shall not steal your peace. I said, Satan shall not steal your joy. We tap into the glory this morning. We tap into the glory. Keleva Zukadave. Machakave. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. Just worship him. Just worship him. Worship the Holy Ghost.